Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think of God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, praise the name of the Lord. Well, today I'm going to talk to you. Guess what? I've heard it witnessed to me in the last 2 days, at least four times. In Sunday school, when Debbie got up to speak, and with the song she just sang. I'm going to talk to you about the cross today. And yesterday I was down here and Ken was down here with Damon and we was in the back and Ken gave me, we was talking about the sound system and different things and Ken gave me the cross sign and I said, you don't know it, buddy, but you just witnessed to what God wants me to speak about tomorrow. So I'm going to read you some scriptures and the title to this sermon is The Cross, Vision from the Mountaintop. Little different vision than what we have of the cross all the time. Okay, I'm going to start reading you a few scriptures here. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I start into it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to just pour yourself through, Father. Get me out of the way and just let your spirit flow. Father, I just thank you for this word. Your words are spirit, they're life. I ask you to just touch hearts here today and help us all to walk away more realizing who and what we are. And realizing who and what you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'm going to read that same scripture to you out of the Phillips translation, or the The New Living Translation. No, it's the Phillips. I'm sorry. It's the Phillips. The preaching of the cross is known, I know, as nonsense to those who are involved in this dying world. But to us who are saved from that death, it's nothing less than the power of God. Galatians 6:14. As for me, this is the New Living Translation. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. Galatians 6:14. This is out of the Amplified. But far be it from me to glory in anything or anyone except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Galatians 2:20, and this is the last of my New Testament scriptures. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. Now, I'm going to take you back into the Old Testament, and before I do that, I'm going to talk to you a little bit. Margaret, you can pull the first screen up there, if you will. I turned that back on because we're trying to get up into the new age. I'm trying to learn to do PowerPoint a little bit, and you'll see why with my next presentation here. But anyway, which is a real struggle for me. I'm feeling my way around in the dark. But anyway, in Numbers is the story of Balaam and Balak. Balak was a king, and he came out against Israel, and he came to Balaam, and he asked Balaam to come and to curse Israel. And, you know, Balaam first told him, he said, I'll have to seek the face of the Lord on this. And in the word, it says he went and he did some enchantments. And the Lord told him not to go. Well, they came back again. Balak sent them back again and said, hey, don't you want me to prosper you? I really want to prosper you. I want to make you great. I want to do a lot of things. And he said, but yet you won't let me by coming and doing what I ask you to do. Well, he sought through enchantments again the face of God. And this time he was told to go. And he went. And when he went, he was riding on his ass. And, you know, a lot of times, to be honest with you, the things in our life that we'll call that name are the things that actually end up speaking to us the most, because it shows us where we are and what we're doing and everything else. But I just want you to know that, you know, as Balaam was riding along, his ass would run off into the field. And Balaam got off and beat it and made it get back on the road heading there. And then it ran him into a wall and broke and hurt his foot. And he got off and he was going to kill the thing. And then guess what? God let it talk to him. And it told him, have I not been your ass all these years? And have I not served you faithfully? And here you are beating me and all this and that. And then he showed him that there was an angel of the Lord standing up there with a sword ready to slay him. And then the angel did tell him, go ahead and go. And he went. And when he went, and I'm just paraphrasing this, and I'm going to read you some of this in a minute till I get what I'm going to read. But he went. And when he got there, Balak said to him, I want you to view Israel down below. And he says, and as you view them, I want you to curse them. And he said, well, I can only say what the Lord tells me to say. And he did a bunch of enchantments, and he looked at them, and he blessed them. And Balak says, hey, what is this? I brought you here to curse them, and here you are blessing them. He said, let's go over to a little higher place and take another look. And he went over to a little higher place, and he took another look. And when he looked down there, he did some more enchantments. And when he did those enchantments, he started blessing Israel. And Balak said to him, I wanted to promote you. I brought you here to promote you. And he said, well, you know, if you gave me my house full of silver and gold and stuff, he said, I can only say what the Lord tells me to say. And he said, well, I tell you what, let's go up into a real high place and take a look. Okay, so they went up into a real high place, and they're looking down on Israel. And as they're looking down on Israel, all of a sudden, Balaam begins to bless them again. And now here, but this time, instead of him doing enchantments, I'm going to read you what he did here. And when Balaam got up to the high place, it said, and Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, and he went not as times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. You can go to the next picture there, Margaret. This is what Balaam saw as he looked down on them from the mountain. Do you see what it is? It's the cross. It's the cross. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in their tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up this parable, and Balaam said, son of Beor hath said, and man whose eyes are open, his eyes were open then. Before it was just enchantments. It was something that really wasn't of God. But now his eyes became open, and he began to prophesy. And he said, hear these words of God, which he saw in a vision of the Almighty falling into a trance and having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are spread forth, as the gardens by the riverside, as the trees to align aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and the cedar trees beside the water, he hath poured the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His seed, hello, many waters. Hello, many waters. Okay. And his king shall be higher than Agag, and the kingdom shall be exalted. And God brought him forth out of Egypt, and he hath, as it were, the strength of the unicorn, and he shall eat up the nations and his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with arrows. He croucheth, he layeth down like as a lion, as a great lion. Who will stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And I want you to know, God's about ready to stir it up. He's about ready to stir up spiritual Israel. Now, I'm going to read you one other scripture here, and then we're going to discuss this a little bit, what you're seeing up there, and that'll just stay up there. This is Numbers 2, 1, and 3. And then it goes on down. I'm going to read you some of these other ones just so you know what's going on there. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard with the ensign of their father's house far off about the tabernacle of the congregation which they pitch. And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, they shall have the standard of the camp of Judah. Where does the sun rise? In the east. What tribe was Jesus of? Of the tribe of Judah. What does Judah mean? Judah means praised. Okay. Okay, on the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben. And those which pitched by him shall be the sons of Simeon. And it goes on and tells the names, but I'm not going to get into all those. I'm just going to get into the four that are on the inside. These are the four that are closest to the tabernacle. And I want you to know the tabernacle is right there in the middle if you look. That's where the presence of God was. That's where the Spirit of God was. That's where they went in and ministered. That's where the Holy of Holies were. That's where all of those things were. And these are camped about. And it said, on the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben. Reuben's name means see ye the sun, or a sun. And I got news for you. He wants us to see the sun. When we see the S-O-N, the sun, Scripture says when we see him as he is, we'll be what? Just like him. Okay. Now, the next one there is, this is verse 18. On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim. Ephraim means dual fruited or double portion. Okay. The next one after that is the standard of the camp of Dan, and it shall be on the north side. And Dan's name means judgment. Okay, now, I want you to see what that cross is made out of. What's it made out of?
People.
People. You mean Jesus was showing that the people were going to have to take up their cross. They were going to have to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, they lived, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. You mean he was showing all that back there, and Balaam was looking down on that? How could Balaam prophesy anything but good things? Because, you know, the power of God dwells in the cross. And guess what? It dwells in the people. And that's why in your life, you have to be crucified daily. That's why daily you have to take up your cross and follow him. Guess what? You are the cross.
Yes, amen.
You are the cross. Okay, now I'm going to go over this a little bit, and I want you to notice on the inside is where all of these first ones were mentioned, and they carried a standard. A standard is a banner, and it comes from a word that means to flaunt or to be conspicuous. And you know, have you ever seen somebody and say, boy, they're really conspicuous? You know what that means? Boy, they stand out. They're there to be seen. And I got news for you. As God raises up the standards in our lives, we're going to become very conspicuous.
Amen.
Very conspicuous. Okay, now we're going to talk about that a little bit. I'm going to tell you about the standards a little bit. It's hard to find that in Scripture, and this is a prophetic word I'm giving to you today. It's just flat out prophetic is what it is. And I want you to know that the first standard for Judah was the lion. Because Jesus was what? The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. That's an easy one to figure out. It's not hard to figure that one out. Okay. Then I'm going to talk to you a little bit out of the order that I gave them to you before. I'm going to talk to you about the north, which is Dan. Dan's insignia was the eagle. Dan's name means judgment. And I'm going to tell you what, we're going to have to judge, but not with the seeing of the eye or not with the hearing of the ear, but we're going to have to judge from a heavenly realm, from way up there, where we look down and actually see what's going on. That's where Jesus judged from. He didn't judge with the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. When he came into a situation, he knew exactly what was going on because guess what? He had eagle vision. And I got news for you. God's wanting us to have eagle vision. The name of this church is Wings Christian Fellowship. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Okay, that was on the north. North in Scripture talks about the hidden and the unknown. The church out there don't know about judgment. They think they do. They've got everybody cast into hell and going to burn forever and ever and ever, and that God's a big vengeful God, and he's just waiting to strike everybody down, and he just can't wait. And I got news for you. They're missing it. They're not looking from the heights of heaven. You know, they said to Jesus one time, they said, "Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to consume them like some of the prophets did in the Old Testament?" He said, "You don't know what spirit you're of."
Amen.
You know what spirit they were going to be of? The spirit of love, reconciliation, and forgiveness. Okay. Now, on the south side, and I'm going out of order here, but I'm going to show you something here in a minute. The south side. That on the south side was Reuben, see ye a son. South in Scripture, when it mentions south, it's talking about the pleasant, the good stuff. Where do we all go on vacation to when we go vacation? Where we go? South. Why? Oh, man, it's nice down there. It's warm. We can get in the ocean and all kinds of stuff. We usually go, so we head south. But I want you to know that also, if you look at the cross, the east was up here, the north, the south, and then the west. Okay? The west was down. It was the feet. And Scripture tells us, and we know this, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon" what? "His shoulders." Now, in that view up there, if them ensigns are on the inside, where's the shoulders at? If you're standing there like that, it's inside. It's on the inner part. So I want you to know that he has chosen that man. Scripture says, "Know ye not that the saints will judge the world?" Now, everybody's always talking about a white throne judgment, and God's going to bring them all in there, and buddy, He's going to put the sheep here and the goats over here and all that stuff. I got news for you. And I'll give you the scripture for it. The scripture for it is First Corinthians 6:2. "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to quit judging them from down here. And you're going to have to start judging them from up there, soaring in the heavenlies with him and looking down and seeing things for what they really are." Okay? Now, that last person, which was the west. Now the sun rises in the east and it sets where? In the west. The last one was Ephraim. And Ephraim means dual-fruited or double portion. And I got news for you. When Israel, Jacob, they brought the two sons before Jacob, when they were still down in Egypt, Joseph did. And he said, "Okay, I'm going to be real careful because I'm going to put the firstborn on the father's right-hand side and I'm going to put the secondborn on the left-hand side." Because see, in the natural in Israel, the right hand of the father, you got the right-hand blessing of the father, you inherited everything. But it said there that Israel's eyes were dim for, Jacob's eyes were dim for age. And I shared this a little bit a couple weeks ago. But he brought them before him so that his father could bless him because, guess what? He was a prophet. And it said, and he and Israel beheld him. Not Jacob, Israel. And Israel took his right hand and put it on the secondborn son. And took his left hand and put it on the firstborn son, like this. And Joseph got all upset, said, oh, not so, Father, not so. You know, you got it wrong. He said, I know it, my son. I know it. And let me tell you what. What did he do when he did that? He made the sign of the cross. And I got news for you. The sign of the cross is always going to throw things out of kilter to how man thinks they should go. It's never going to be the way man thinks it should go. Man out there has got Jesus still hanging on the cross. He ain't on that cross no more.
Yes, amen.
You're to take up your cross daily and follow him. Guess who the cross is now? It's you.
Yes.
It's the people. It's you. You're the cross. And I'm going to tell you what. What happened, and Brother Eddie used to read this scripture a lot in the Gospel of John, where he would say that, that I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And he said, and when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I'm he. And what did he say right after that? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life and have it more abundantly. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I got news for you. You are going to be the one who's going to begin to forgive them. You're going to be the one who judges them. In the Psalms, and I think it's Psalm 81, it says there basically, I have said ye are gods and children of the Most High, but you die like men. And it says, how long? How long will you allow the earth to be out of course?
Yes.
Who's he talking to? Is he talking to God? You know who he's talking to? You, me. He's saying, how long are you going to let this earth be out of course?
Amen.
And you know what? We need to begin to get close to the heart of God. Those standards. And I got news for you. Guess what? Jesus was the head. And guess what we are? We're the feet. You saw me just move my foot? You know why I moved my foot? My head told it to. My head told it to. And I got news for you. When I go into a room, you know what goes in first? Not my head. My foot. And then guess what? My other foot comes in and it brings the head in. I got news for you, folks. Guess what? It's time for us to do only that which we hear our Father doing.
Amen.
It's time for us to move when he tells us to move.
Amen.
To do what he tells us to do.
Yes.
When we surround the heart of God with those attitudes. And I didn't tell you what Ephraim's sign was. Ephraim's sign was the ox. The ox. Scripture tells you, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that does what? Treads the corn. I got news for you, folks. It's time for us to start treading the corn out there. It's time for us to start telling creation that they've already been set free by the cross.
Amen.
That they are redeemed. They are forgiven. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses.
Amen.
And guess what? It's time for us to quit inputting their trespasses.
Yes,
and start telling them, you are forgiven because of what Jesus did on Calvary.
Yes.
The church isn't telling them that.
Yes.
The church is telling them, you're mean old sinners. You're mean old sinners. Unless you come into my church and go through my baptisms and all my doctrines and all that. You know what? That turns people off so bad. We have to begin to tell them Jesus paid the price. I love that song that we learned. He paid a debt he did not owe.
Amen.
I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away.
Amen.
And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. But you know what? He paid that debt, and now you can go out and you can be a dispenser of His forgiveness and of His love and of His reconciliation and all of those things. Now, I'm just going to share a couple other things with you, and then I'm going to be done. Praise the Lord. Praise God. In the book of Ezekiel, and I shared on this years ago, in the book of Ezekiel, I'm just going to read you a little bit of it. And now it came to pass in the 13th year and the 14th and the 4th month of the, and the 5th day of the month that I was among the captives by the river Chebar. And the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. God opened the heavens. Open. We sing that song, Open My Eyes, Lord, I Want to See Jesus. God opened the heavens. It's time for us to begin to see things for what they really are. It's time for us to start moving into things as to what they really are. And let me tell you, that word, I saw visions of God, that word visions there is a word that means, it means vision, but it means a mirror. It means looking glass visions. Now, what does Scripture say? We look into a glass darkly. You ever looked in a real dark glass? Who do you see? You. Because if there ain't no light on the other side, your reflection comes back. And I got news for you. It's time that we realize that all of this stuff here that we're seeing up here, it's going on right inside of you. These were all types and shadows of what's happening inside of you. He wants us to come to a place to where we praise God in everything. Judah. Judah. That's the fruit of your lips. That takes you into the high realms of God. That takes you up into the high places in God where you begin to see things clearly. Then He wants you to be like the eagle. He wants you to soar in the heavenlies with Him. He wants you to be like Dan. Not judgmental, but not judging with the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but judging righteous judgment. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says, I bring forth my servant, the branch. Now, what did Jesus say? I'm the vine and you're what? The branches. And He shall not judge with the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but He'll judge righteous judgment. And I got news for you. As long as we keep looking out of these natural eyes and judging situations and circumstances and people, we're going to miss it. We're going to fall short. We're going to condemn them. We're going to think, oh my God, they're awful. They're this, they're that. But when we begin to look at them with Jesus' eyes, with the eyes of the Spirit, we begin to soar in the heavenlies with Him. I got news for you. That scripture that Brother Eddie used to share all the time was, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I'm He. And He said, I, the Son of Man, which am in heaven. Why? Because he was walking on this earth, but I got news for you. He was way above this earth. He was observing things through the eyes of God. That's all He was seeing. And that's why when they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery, and by every Jewish law, she had a right to be stoned to death. And I got news for you. The law will always condemn you. It will always beat you down. It will always, because if you miss one point of it, you've missed it all. You're guilty of it all. Thank God that He took the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us and He nailed them to the what? The tree, the cross. You have to do the same thing. You got to quit putting handwriting of ordinances on people. Well, bless God, if they was really a Christian, they wouldn't have said that. They wouldn't have done that. Yes, they would. Yes, they would, because they haven't come into the fullness of this thing yet. Neither have you. You ain't got no right to be judging them like that. What you got a right to be doing is saying, God, I see them complete. I see them whole. I see them perfect in You. Because it's all about You, Jesus. It's not about what they do or what they don't do. It's about your grace, your divine influence upon their heart and its reflection out into their life. Praise God. Praise God. Now, when Ezekiel said, and I had visions of God, then down in verse 4, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, the unknown, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and brightness was about it, and in the midst thereof was the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst there came there the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, one of those standards. And you know what? When he had visions of God, back there, the reason that the man is mentioned first, and there was four of those faces, I'm going to tell you, the reason he mentioned a man first, because God was about to bring a revelation into the earth, and he was prophesying about this, because the heavens were open. He was seeing into the future. He was seeing what God was going to do. Jesus was going to come as a man. And he's come in you as a man. He's in you. He's in you, except you're a reprobate. That's what Scripture says, doesn't it? Okay. He had to come as a man first. Then, and it says, and also it says, a likeness of a man. And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. Four is the number for the world. How many corners do they say is in the world? There ain't a corner on it. It's round. But what do they say? Four corners. Why? Because that talks about the world. Okay? So this thing had four wings. It was going to minister to the world. And it said everyone had four faces and everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. And the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' hooves. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. I'm in the machine tool business, and we burnish stuff sometimes, so I know what that means. And I'm going to tell you, if you burnish it good enough, it gets like a mirror. And also, if you burnish brass and you get it polished enough and you let the light hit on it and I shine it on that wall back there, you know what I would see? A rainbow. A rainbow. And I'm going to tell you, any time that you saw the throne of God, there's always a rainbow about it. Because a rainbow is the breaking down of light. And I got news for you. God wants to break down light so that you understand it and you see it for what it really is. And it's all about him. And he wants your walk to be a reflection of that. And sometimes you say, oh God, I made a wrong step yesterday. Well, guess what? We were just talking about this back in Sunday school. He's going to come and rub on you. And he's going to rub on you, and it ain't going to feel too good because he's going to rub some rough places off of you. He might use a brother. He might use a sister. He might use a boss. He might use your next door neighbor. It can be anything like that. He's going to rub on you a little bit. And you know what's going to happen? After a while, that rough spot where you're saying, oh, this hurts. Oh, I don't like this. Oh, God, why is this happening? Oh, God, why is that happening? After a while, you're going to just say, well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Because guess what? That roughness is going to get rubbed off. And then all of a sudden, the light's going to be reflecting. And boy, people are going to see the glory of God. You know, they're going to see the new covenant of God. Remember what the new covenant he made with Noah was? He set the bow in the air. Why? Because he was never going to destroy the earth again by water. Now, guess what? You're the water of God. You're not going to destroy it. You're going to bring life to it. And you're going to bring it more abundantly because you're going to bring him to the situation. Praise God. It says, and their feet were straight, and the soles of their feet were the soles of calves, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wing. I want you to know, God uses men. He uses men. This is all about men. This is about mankind. When you lift the wings of prayer and praise, he's going to put your hands in there and he's going to allow you to minister life to somebody. That's why I had the hands of a man under their wings. And on their four sides, they had their four faces and their wings. And their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. And every one went straight forward. Don't you desire to get to the point where you head in a straight line, exactly where God wants you to go, and you don't kind of deviate off to the right or deviate off to the left, or you ain't got some doctrine over here that's the doctrines of men and some traditions of... Have you ever heard people quote something they think is a scripture? I've heard some old-time people say a few times, well, you know the word says every pot's got to sit on its bottom. Find it. Show it to me. It ain't in there. But you know what? Because Grandma said that, and Grandma was a religious lady, guess what? Man, that's scripture. Don't you know that? Every pot's got to sit on its bottom. Ah, Lord, Lord, help us, Lord. And their wings joined one to another, and they turned not when they went, every one straight forward, as the likeness of their faces. They four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side. They four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four had the face of an eagle. Yes. Those four standards. Those four standards are right inside of you. And I'm going to tell you what, until those four standards inside of you become so apparent that literally they become conspicuous. In other words, you soar in the heavenlies, you don't judge everybody according to the earthly realm. Because if you do, guess what? You're going to miss it. You know, Jesus didn't bring condemnation hardly on anybody except for the religious folks. The religious folks. He went down and got with the sinners. You know why? Because when he began to tell them of the goodness of the Lord and he began to minister life unto them, creation's groaning and travailing out there waiting for that, folks. And when our standards become conspicuous, to where we even flaunt them. You ever seen somebody, they'll get a new diamond necklace or something, and they'll come around and they'll go, I'm getting a light, try to sparkle you with it, or... Or they'll go like this if they got earrings, you know, when they get up to you. And you say, whoa, them are pretty, you know. Comes very conspicuous. And you know what? It's time that we get conspicuous about the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the reconciliation of God. Oh, my God. How that'll change the world. How that will change the world. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm going to just share one more thing with you, and I'm going to close. I've been talking for a long time, and this is prophetic. I know I wasn't going to speak this week. Jim was going to speak, and he told me he wasn't going to do it, and I said, okay. I said, well, I guess I'll speak. And I the Lord had been dealing with me about this for a long time, and I felt like today was the day. So anybody that didn't hear today, you missed it. You missed it. But I'm going to tell you what, get the tape. The only trouble is you can't see the picture on the tape. And oh my God, when Balaam looked down on that. And I'm going to tell you something. Remember it was Balak that took Balaam up into the high place and said, now look down and curse that thing. Balak means waster. The waster was trying to do that. What does the waster try to do in your life? Get you to curse the religious folks. Get you to curse the cross. Get you to curse people because you don't feel like they walk exactly the way you think they should walk, or they don't do exactly what you think they should do, or they stepped on this tradition of the elders that made the word of God of no effect, or whatever. And you know what Balaam's name meant? Remember, Balaam went for enchantments first, but then the Lord began to prophesy through him at the end. And I got news for you, folks. There's a lot of Balaams out there. You know what Balaam's name means? Not of the people. Not of the people. I got news for you. If they're sitting out there trying to prophesy into you, you better be listening to the Lord and not to them. We've had so many people over the years doing that, that claim to be prophets and everything else, and really all they were trying to do was create havoc in the body of Christ. But I got news for you. Had Balaam, Scripture tells you he was a false prophet up in the New Testament. But everything he prophesied was true in those situations. But why was he considered to be a false prophet? Because guess what? He was not of the people. Had he really been in tune with God, guess what he would have done? He would have came down and joined the people. He would have came down and said, man, I've seen that thing. It's marvelous. Think at that. Look at that picture. That makes the cross. Okay? Now, if I was going to encamp for safety, you ever heard that old in the old cowboy movies, what did they always do when they circled the wagons? Made a big circle. Why? Because there was no weak points. Look at that. You could come in from the side there, anywhere up there. But I'm going to tell you what, the glory of God was upon that thing. Because that was showing the cross. That was showing what he was going to do in his people. And I'm going to tell you, every place that thing went, and a lot of people might say, well, how do you know it made the cross like that? Because Jewish people do it. They always follow the letter of the law so closely that it's unreal. When he told them to line up from Judah to the other tribes, to the east, they didn't go northeast or southeast. They went dead east, straight out. When he told some of them to line up to the west, they went dead west. When he told some of them to go to the south, they went dead south. Some to go to the north, they went dead north. Why? He knew they would. And guess what? He knew that would also be seen. Anybody who was in the high places and looked down, that's exactly what they saw. And you know, you see those three things on the inside there? You know what? You know who's in there? Moses' relatives, the sons of Levi, the priests. And that name means join. Join. They that are joined to the Lord are what?
One spirit.
One spirit.
Amen.
and look at how many there was. Three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All surrounding the tabernacle of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And look at what was ascending. The cloud that led them by day. And there was a pillar of fire that led them by night. And I got news for you. God says he makes his servants a flame of fire. Yeah. Our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something else. You're a fire too.
Yeah.
But the fire that you are is to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble in people's lives. That only the precious will remain.
Yes. Amen.
The wood and hay and stubble are all that junk. All that stuff that they think is so important. All that's mistaken identity. All that other stuff. I got news for you. God's going to cut this thing short. And when he does, he's going to do it through you and through me and through us rising up in him. You know, in Romans 8 chapter, we read that in Romans 8 chapter. And I'm going to close with this because I don't want to go on. I probably could have spoke for 2 weeks on this if I'd have went through everything. But I'm going to tell you. In Romans 8 chapter, when he said that all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Sons of God.
Amen.
Notice I'm saying sons of God, not the Son of God. Sons of God. Romans 8 chapter, read it. For creation shall be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. What? You mean that's what he's calling us for? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. To set creation free.
Before
praise God.
Quit, is it okay if I say one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
This man that was showing these pictures of the universe kept going. Mm-hmm.
Here, wait a minute, Debbie. Let me get you on here.
I can say it
loud. It's a yellow one. Yellow one, Margaret.
he kept quoting Psalms 19:1, which is, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." And he showed this picture. It was a group of sons. It was sons. And in the middle of it was a cross. It should be here. It should be here. And we should be saying every day, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." And we're the firmament. We're made out of earth.
Right.
We are the firmament, and we should show forth his handiwork.
Yes.
That's all.
Amen.
I just thought it was cool. I mean, it went right. That God Praise confirms that. His word.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
Amen. And folks, this thing is a whole lot different than a lot of the stuff that you're hearing out there. And it's just way more vast, but yet so simple. So simple. I mean, it's simple. When you look at that right there and you look at all those things there, that's simple. How can you not look at that and say, oh, and just marvel at the wonder of God? Marvel that he was showing exactly what he was going to do. You know, all of those people of Israel at that point, they deserved to be on the cross. Not Jesus. I deserve to be on the cross. You deserve to be on the cross. But guess what? He took our place.
Yeah, that's it.
And now we are the cross, so to speak, that we should bring the redemption to mankind. And we were talking about one last thing. We were talking about back here about John in the epistle of John, in the third chapter, the first epistle of John, it says, "Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are ye the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And I'm paraphrasing there. But in the Philips, it says that we should be called the children of God. And it goes ahead and it says, "And if reality were to break forth, we would be just like him." Come reality. Come reality. And you think the things of the natural don't declare the things of the spirit? Turn on your television tonight. Turn on your television all week long. You'll see more shows called Reality Such and Such Island. Reality this. Reality that. Reality. You know why? Because creation is groaning and travailing, wanting the reality of God. And they're trying to find reality in a bunch of people running around naked on some island or whatever it is. And you know they're not going to find it. They're not. They're only going to find reality when we point them to the only thing that's really real is the Lord. Praise God. Well, if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. And I thank you for being obedient and singing that song a while ago that fit right in with the sermon and fit right in with everything. And like I've told you before, and I keep telling you, when you have a song, you tell me. You don't need music. You are God's instrument. You're his instrument. You don't need music. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words, their spirit and life. And Father, I just ask you to bless your people. Help us to go forth and realize that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ in us. And Father, help us take up our cross daily and follow you. And as we take up our cross and follow you, we are becoming the cross of Christ. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for what you're going to do. Bless your people, Father. Lord, bring us up into that high place where we can really begin to see with clarity and with true vision what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. If anybody'd like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you.